Okay, Daniel Perites Pasik Tesvav, middle of Daniel's tefillah. We learned yesterday Daniel, when he realized, when he made the calculation, it's been 70 years from the time of the kibush of Yehoyakim, the kibush of the Vuchanetza over Yehoyakim. He expected that the process of Gula should have begun, or should have even been complete. And he knew that he was not making a mistake, because who was the one who made the first calculation? Belshazzar. Belshazzar, 1 year before, made a calculation. 70 years since the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. It was exactly 70 years. 19 years. 19 years since Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, and since he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and then an additional 23 years of Nebuchadnezzar, I don't have all the calculated numbers in front of me. There was another period of time of when Nebuchadnezzar continued to rule, and then Evel Meroidach ruled for 23 years, and then Belshazzar ruled for 2-3 years, depending on how you calculate the years. And Belshazzar, in the last year of his Malchus, made that calculation. It was 70 years since the rise of Nebuchadnezzar to the throne, and the Jews are still in Galus. Nothing has happened, and it's time. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has annulled the promise that after 70 years he will visit, he will remember the Jewish people. And therefore Belshazzar took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and he celebrated, and that very night Hashem sent a malach to write the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel interpreted the handwriting, and that night Belshazzar was killed. But Belshazzar was the one who made the first calculation of 70 years, and he was mistaken. It was not 70 years since the time of Nebuchadnezzar's rise to power. So along came Daniel 1 year later and said, I'm not going to make the same mistake. The calculation of 70 years does not begin from the time Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. It's 1 year later, when Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyakim, when he came to Yerushalayim. In the first year of his power, he conquered Ashur, Nineveh. In the second year of his power, he conquered Yerushalayim. He exiled Yehoyakim, and he appointed in its place. Yehoyachin was appointed in his place for 3.5 months. That's when we will make the calculation, and indeed that calculation now came to an end 70 years later, and nothing is happening. Daniel was extremely distraught, and he was mispala. We learned yesterday a good part of the tefillah. Now we are in the middle of the tefillah pasuk tezvav yato, and now Hashem Elokeinu asher hotzeisa es amcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem, you have taken the Jewish people out of Egypt. Biyot chazaka, with a strong hand, v'atas lecha. Pasuk tesvav, perek tes, pasuk tesvav. Hotzeisa es amcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, biyot chazaka, v'atas lecha. Hashem kayem azen, you have made for yourself a great name like this very day. The world records, the world is aware of the incredible miracles that you have performed when you took the Jewish people out of Egypt, the Ten Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. Chotanu Roshan, we acknowledge that we have sinned. And Mefarshim explained the reason why Daniel here mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim. Good morning, how are you? He wanted to evoke the Zuchus of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because this has not been mentioned until now. This long tefillah we've discussed until now, there's no mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim took place 480 years ago. It took place about 500 years ago, because 480 years since the time, no, I'm sorry, take that back, it's about almost 1,000 years. Yeah. 480 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim until the time of the Bayis Rishon, plus another 410 years, plus another about 52 years. Daniel is being mispalled 52 years after the Bayis Sheni, so we're dealing with almost 1,000 years. And Daniel all of a sudden is mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, Madakar Shemei. What does it have to do with Daniel's prayers? And first, we explain, because we know that Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, the burning bush, and said, I want to recruit you to be a leader to take the Jewish people. Moshe said, really, what schus do they have? Moshe fled from Egypt because Vayar Ish, he saw one of the Jewish people was hitting another fellow, one Jew, was hitting another fellow Jew. And when he gave Musa, "Why are you hitting your fellow Jew?" he said, "Are you going to kill me also? Are you going to Halargeni?
He killed the Mitzri first.
And then he saw Nasnavi, he saw Vayar, one person hitting another person. So he said, "What are you doing?" So the Jew said, "Halhargeni ato oimer. Are you going to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptians?" So Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely distraught. Ochei noida hadavar. Chazal explained noida hadavar means it's known. Paro will find out that I have killed one of his men, and he will seek me out and have me executed. I better run away. That's the simple interpretation. But Chazal explained ochei noida hadavar. Now I know the answer to what has been bothering me all along. Why are the Jewish people suffering? Why are they suffering such terrible hardship in Egypt? It's because of sinas chinam, because one Jew hits another Jew, and when I give Musa, "Why are you hurting your fellow Jew?" they tell me, "Watch out, I'll kill you also, I'll get you in trouble also." They are informers, they are malshinim, they're willing to inform one Jew against another Jew to the government. Achein noida hadavar. Now I know why the Jewish people suffer so much. It's because they don't have among themselves ahavas chaverim. There's too much sinas chinam among themselves. So Klal Yisrael was not doing very well. They did not have very many suchusim in Mitzrayim. And when Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare and says, "I want you to take my people out of Egypt," Moshe says, "What suchus?" So Hashem says, "Eke asher eke." It's true. It's not going to be the Gula Shlema. I'm summarizing all the many Mori Chazal that Hashem asked Moshe, and Moshe asked Hashem, "Will this be the Gula Shlema?" So Hashem said, "No, it's not going to be the Gula Shlema. They are not worthy of a Gula Shlema. It will be a temporary Gula. I will take them out of Egypt now, and they will have a Beis HaMikdash, and but a time will come when there will be a Chorbin, and then there will be an ultimate Gula, Yemos HaMashiach, with Eliyahu HaNavi." So Moshe said to Hashem, "If that's the case, I'm not interested. Shlachna biyat tishlach. If this will not be the Gula Shlema, I am not interested. Send Eliyahu HaNavi." And Hashem said to Moshe, "Sorry, but that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Right now there will be a Geula, even though it will not be the Geula Shlema. And even though the Klal Yisrael did not have a full measure of Schusim, I still want to redeem them." So that is why Daniel, this is how I saw the Mepharshim explain the Mishnah Zohar. Zav explains what it means over this pasuk, why he's mentioning the Zuchus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Just like Klal Yisrael did not have a full measure of merit to be worthy of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it was enough at least to lighten the Tsaros. There was enough at least to bring them out of Mitzrayim and end, bring an end to the Avodas Perach and the Shibud to get out from under. So here, Daniel here is saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, obviously we have a problem. It's been 70 years and nothing is doing. And we learned it wasn't really a mistake, because there are many layers of interpretation for the number 70. And according to Daniel, felt that at least on some level there should have been some pekida, some small dosage of remembrance where Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing that he's going to begin the process of Gula. And now 70 years have passed since the Kibush Yehoyakim and nothing is doing. Later that year, something did happen. Koresh came to power, and Koresh did make an announcement, and either the Jews can return. But Daniel, obviously, at this point in time, was extremely frustrated that nothing is doing. And it must be because Klal Yisrael is not worthy. They're not worthy of the Gula. So he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, was Klal Yisrael worthy of the Gula from Mitzrayim? They weren't worthy there either. They weren't worthy. But yet, you redeemed them. Because you did find some redeeming quality. There was something enough, at least, to take them from under, to take them out of the Shibud. So here, we're not so bad. It's true. We're not where we should be. But we're not so bad where you should completely abandon us. And after 70 years, since you promised Yirmiyah that there's going to be Melois Chavos Yushlaim, after 70 years, you should completely abandon us. And therefore, that is why he's coming to remind Hashem of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. So they have Sotchos Sovos here also. Whatever they had by Yitzias Mitzrayim, they had just as much here, if not more.
Hashem gave them also, because there was, I think the Medrash talks about that the Malachim said,
Why by the
Amser? Halalu, Halalu, Zara.
Hashem gave them the mitzvahs, bris milah again.
So the, certainly you, they were certainly doing mitzvahs. There were certainly many redeeming factors they had in their favor here at this point in time. And although Daniel realized that it was not the full measure of what should have been, he felt that it's no less than it was in Egypt.
So why didn't you just ask for a clarification on the time zone? If his concern was that
70 years.
70 years, and maybe I'm off. Hashem doesn't retract.
Hashem does retract. If we're not worthy, then there is a possibility that it will not come true.
But he tells people.
Not necessarily. We can say all that in hindsight, but not necessarily. There are no guarantees. If we're not worthy, if Klal Yisrael sin, then all the bracha can be taken away from Klal Yisrael.
Well, wouldn't Hashem be?
Well, over here, the prophecy came to an end. This is already past the time of prophecy. Daniel was not a Navi. Daniel was a Chacham. He had Ruach HaKodesh. But Chazal say over and over that Daniel is not listed as one of the Nevim. Sefer Daniel is in the Ksuvim. What?
No other
Nevi'im. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi were in the same time. So, but they were not present. They were not on scene. They're not. They don't appear here. They are. I'm not sure how they come into play with Daniel. But they were not. They were not present with Daniel. And this is what. Could be the narrative show. I'm not sure. No, in Eretz Yisrael, they were the first 50 years. The first, they were later. So then they were much later. But the first 52 years, there was no one in Eretz Yisrael. That's Chazal say over and over. So it has to be that they were in Bavel. Were they in Bavel? Were they maybe there were other surrounding lands around Eretz Yisrael? Not everyone went to Bavel. People went to other parts of the world as well. So exactly where they were, I do not know. I'm probably it says somewhere exactly where they were at this point in time. But over here, we're focusing on Daniel's experience. And Daniel was obviously very distraught. And Daniel, Chazal, even Chazal said he made a mistake. Chazal clarified he didn't make a mistake. The interpretation, we discussed this yesterday, there was a promise of 70 years. Hashem told Yirmiyahu l'mlos chorvos Yerushalayim shivim shana after 70 years. That can be defined, the explanation and the calculation is given to man to define. Torah lav bashamayimi. Just like the interpretation of the Torah is not up to heaven, it's given to man to interpret. The interpretation of prophecy to a certain degree is also given to man to interpret. And it is within Daniel's rights, his power, to interpret what it means 70 years. It's not within the power of Balshetzar. Balshetzar is not part of Klal Yisrael, so he has no right to make calculations of what it means 70 years. So when he says 70 years means from when the Nebuchadnezzar came to power, it wasn't totally wrong either. Because Balshetzar, Bavel did come to an end. The Malchus of Bavel came to an end exactly 70 years since it started. Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Merodach, and Balshetzar, the combination of their Malchus was exactly 70 years. And Bavel was the power which did destroy the Beis HaMikdash and exile the Jewish people. So to a certain degree, he was right. Balshetzar was right. But Daniel is going on another level of Geula, and Daniel he does have the right to interpret the words of the prophecy according to his understanding, and according to his understanding there should have been some degree of remembrance, which did happen shortly after this vision, after this chapter. But he was extremely disturbed, and he's coming to me in the Spalel, and here he's coming to remind Hashem about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And just like there we were not fully worthy, we have sinned there, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, we should be no different. The time of Geula should have arrived, and therefore we acknowledge that we have Chatanu Roshanu, but still you should redeem us just like you redeemed us in time of Mitzrayim. Let's go Pasuk Tes Zayin. Hashem, Kichol Tzid Koitzecha, according to all of your righteousness, Hashem, you are Tzedek, Tzedek Loshav Tzedakah, you do with men more than what they deserve. Yoshovna, please, no means please, to return, to take back Apicha, your anger, Vachamasicha, and your fury, two different words of Rosh, seemingly mean the same thing. May Ircha Yerushalayim Har Kachach, from your holy city, Yerushalayim, Kivach. Now here we have a very interesting expression, Kivach Hatoenu, due to our sins, Uva Avonos Avoseinu, and the sins of our fathers, Yerushalayim Yamcha, Yerushalayim, and your nation, Lecherpa, has been a disgrace, has been a source of shame, Lechol Sevivoseinu, to all of the surrounding nations. It's a Chilul Hashem. Hashem to what has happened to Klal Yisrael, the fact that you are our God and you have not saved us and you have brought us into exile. All of the surrounding nations, they ask, where is your God? How could your God do this to you and let another nation conquer and exile you? And all of this is due to our sins and the sins of our fathers. Now what exactly does that mean? So I saw a very interesting interpretation. There are two words here in the pasuk. There's chet and avon. Chet means an inadvertent sin, where a person sins b'shoigek, it's an accident. Avon is a sin that one does b'nezid, on purpose. A person is aware of what he is doing, he rebels, he sins against Hashem b'nezid. Now, let's put that aside. We have in the Torah two psukim which contradict one another. One pasuk says, poiked avon avos, Al bonim v'al b'nei bonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the sin of the fathers upon bonim u'b'nei bonim. There's such a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish children and grandchildren for the sins of their fathers. But we have another pasuk that says, Lo yumsu avos al bonim. Avos shall bonim lo yumsu avos al bonim. Bonim lo yumsu al avos. There's a pasuk which tells us that a father does not suffer for the sins of his sons, and the son does not suffer for the sins of the father. So this is a contradiction in the Torah. Do children suffer for the sins of their father? So the Gemara asked this question, and the Gemara gives one answer. It depends if the children are following in the ways of their father. That's the simple answer. If the children are not following in the ways of their father, Achshar Dore, the new generation has become better, they have improved, then HaKadosh Baruch will not hold the later generation responsible for the sins of the previous generation. But if the children are following in the evil ways of their parents, then whose fault is it that the children are sinning? It's the parents' fault. So then it's only fair that that HaKadosh Baruch will tie up any loose ends, any unfinished business that Hashem has with the parents who are no longer here in this world, will be given over, will be transferred, will be taken over by the children. Okay, so that's one answer that the Gemara gives. But there's another answer. And the other answer, okay, the second answer is not as clear why it should be, but this is still given by some of the Mefarshim. I do not have a name for you. I think the Arizal says this. The Arizal. So we're in the Kisvei Arizal. From the Arizal, is that there is a difference between a sin that is done b'mezid and a sin that is done b'shoigeg. If a parent commits a sin b'shoigeg, every sin that's done and inadvertently is still a sin. Because if a person was more careful, he would not have come to a situation where he would sin. So although it's an accident, it's still a sin. There's different levels of inadvertent sins. There's an onus, which is completely beyond me. I have no responsibility. But there are sins called shkogos, where you do have a degree of responsibility. You should have been more careful. You should have not been doing certain things which may have led to commit this sin b'shoigeg. A chet that's committed b'shoigeg does not go past to the children. When a person dies, Nisa, we don't know how this works, but death alone is the greatest atonement. Death atones primarily, according to the Arizal, for sins that are done b'shoigeg, that are done inadvertently. And again, I repeat, when we say inadvertently, it doesn't mean it's not an onus. You're not totally off the hook. There is a degree of responsibility, but it was in shogeg. Those type of sins are forgiven with death. A sin that is done b'mezid, an avon, death does not atone. And that, we don't know how this works, that if a person does not do tshuva, what are you looking at me like that for? There are many different levels of sins. Let's just focus on these two simple examples to explain this pasuk. A chet that is done b'mezid misa is not mechaper. If a person does not do tshuva, we do not know how this works. There is a possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold the children responsible for the sins that are done b'mezid by the parents, by the parent. And that's how we answer the contradiction in the pasuk. Poiked ovoin avos al bonim v'al b'nei bonim. The pasuk is precise. Hashem will visit the ovon. The ovon is a word which means a sin that is done b'mezid. A upon the banim ubnei banim. Again, poked, Hashem remembers, he visits, he punishes, ovon, the sins that are done the nezid, al banim, upon the next generation, v'al b'nei banim. When the Torah says, lo yumsu ovos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al ovos, that al avon ovos, that a child will not suffer the sin of the father, that refers to a sin that the father did, b'shoigeg. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another way to answer the contradiction. Now let's look at this pasuk. The pasuk now makes perfect sense. The pasuk says Zayin, the second half of the pasuk, why are we suffering today? Obviously we have some unfinished business. Ki vachato'enu, it's due to our inadvertent sins, and uva avonos avosenu, the sins committed benezed by our fathers. It does not say ki ba'avoinenu uvchatois avosenu. It doesn't say ki ba'chatoenu uvchatois avosenu. It does not say ki ba'avoinenu uvavoinos avosenu. It's very precise. When it comes to us, so why are we suffering? We're suffering because of chatoenu, because we're still alive. And as long as we are alive, we have not done tshuva for our inadvertent sins. We are responsible. And kol shekein, we are responsible for our avonos. But we are responsible even for our chatoim, our inadvertent sins. But when it comes to our fathers, so for the chatos of the fathers, that's gone. That's already been taken care of with the death of the previous generation. There has been atonement for the chatos of our, but for the avoinos of our fathers, the sins that they committed, b'mezid, that has not been atoned for, and that the children are responsible for. Poked avoin, avos al banim. So this pasuk is extremely precise. Beautiful. It's not beautiful, obviously. Well, the sin is, but the perish of the pasuk, this precision in the sins, it's b'chatoenu, for our inadvertent sins, and kol shekein, for our sins that are done b'mezid, but not for the chatos of our forefathers, because that has been atoned for with their death. What do we carry with us into the next generation that we are responsible for? Uva avoinois avoseinu, for the avoinois of our forefathers, poiked avoin avois avon, but not for the chatois of avoseinu, because that we say lo yumsu avois albon mabon lo yumsu al avoin avois.
It's the opposite of what this
pasuk. No, mnei chatoenu. It's our chatoim, not avonos.
The
avonos
here is linked with
avoseinu. That's exactly the point. The avoinos are only linked with avoseinu. Ki vachatoenu, our inadvertent sins, uva avoinos avoseinu, and the avoinos, the sins committed, the mezid of our forefathers, but not the chatois of our forefathers. The chatois, the inadvertent sins of our forefathers, have already been forgiven for. We're not responsible. No one's responsible for them. So today, when there is still no Beis HaMikdash, and there is guilt, there is sin that is preventing its being rebuilt, its restoration is because of, very precisely, chatoenu uva avoinoi savoseinu, but not the chatois of avoseinu.
What is Kedusha want? I can understand he wants kapara on our own chatoseinu.
Yes.
If the rule that a Kedusha will work is kapara,
poked avonos albanin.
So how does he, what does he want Hashem to do? Wipe out avonos
albanin? No, he's doing tshuva. Part of the process of doing tshuva is hakara, is recognition. Vidui. That's the first step. The first step in doing tshuva is you have to say, I acknowledge what I have done. You have to first. That's right. So we have to acknowledge the sins of our fathers, and we have to, basically what it means, you have to take this into consideration. What the Gemara says, and we have to reject their lifestyle. We have to reject their approach, and we're not going to continue in this approach to life.
You said, which was the Arizal,
yeah.
Seemed to consider that as a factor, whether you assume...
The others have sinned. They have sinned and made it.
Right.
And that sin has not been forgiven for. So we have a responsibility to do tshuva for our fathers. How do we do tshuva? We acknowledge, the way we do tshuva, the best that we can possibly do is we acknowledge that they have sinned, and we promise and take it upon ourselves never to go in that way.
The first chapter you said, we'll accept them.
It's really the same. It's the same idea. The only way you can do tshuva for the avonos of the fathers is to acknowledge that what they have done was wrong, and to make sure that you do not follow in their ways. That is the tshuva. That's the tshuva process. The second pshat is just the pshat and the pasuk, but the tshuva, the part of tshuva, you have to take into consideration the first approach. Okay, let's go further. Yeah.
Maybe we have to do tshuva for, the parents and grandparents.
Yes.
So maybe that's why they use the term chotanu rather than chotosi. In other words, the plural...
Our goes back on the... But we're saying, according to the Arizal, there's no need to do tshuva for the inadvertent sins of our forefathers. Chotanu, so we do say it elsewhere. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. So, Okay, fine. But on a very specific note, it's a very beautiful pshat, because chet generally means b'shoigek. Avon means b'mezit. We have a contradiction in two psukim in the Torah. Poiket oven ovos albonim. Lo yumsu ovos albonim bonim lo yumsu alavon ovos. So the Arizal answers. Shkogos do not go to the children. Avonos do go to the children. This is exactly what it says here in the pasuk. Ki vachato enu, only our chato enu. We don't need to take into consideration the chato enu, the chatois of the forefathers. That's already gone. Avonos, we do need to take into consideration, and that's why it says uva avonos avosenu. Yerushalayim v'yam. Next possible to get now. What?
Is it possible to do tshuva for someone else?
So that's what we explained. The way you do tshuva for the sins of the fathers is first to acknowledge that they have sinned and to make sure you do not follow in their ways. You have to bend backwards. You acknowledge, because it's a tendency of a child, if this is my father did, I'm going to do the same thing.
Is that doing tshuva for them or for you?
That's true for them as well. The koyach of a father is a child. The child says kaddish. The child is the extension of the father in this world. A bra, karad avua, the child is the leg of the father. The way a child behaves in this world gives the father mobility in the olam ha'emes. So if the son acknowledges that what the father has done is wrong, and makes sure to bend backwards, not to go in that way, and to instruct his own children not to follow that path, that to some degree is a atonement for what the father has done. Yeah.
Isn't it the problem with lashon hara to say my father did this and this?
Is it lashon hara to say what you say?
Isn't it the problem with lashon hara?
Not necessarily. When there's a discussion among the commentators if it's possible to say lashon about the dead. Once a person is no longer in this world, you technically violate the laws of lashon hara when you mention the sin of someone who's no longer here. When a person has sinned and it's being done as part of a teshuva process of atonement and a supplication for repentance, then there is no violation.
But anyway, we express it in the collective.
Right, you don't specify.
Right.
You don't specify any specific individual. You don't specify any specific sin. So then it lightens the problem of lashon hara. But it's a good point. Let's go to the
concept of chilul Hashem.
Yeah.
It's very similar to Yecheskel and Lamed Zayin.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. The goyim will say, "Hinei am Hashem elu."
And look what's happening. When Klal Yisrael is in Golus, it is the ultimate Chilul Hashem. Golus of Klal Yisrael, how can you be like the Shparach? You have a God, like we learned yesterday, V'lanu boshes upon him. You have a God that can do a few miracles in Golus. So you have to, you worship idols, and you allow yourself to be exiled. It's the greatest Chilul Hashem when the Jewish people find themselves in Golus. Exactly. Yes.
So you said your father was in Kalashash.
Yeah.
You deliberately did not keep Shabbat.
Yes.
And you become Baal Teshuva and you keep Shabbat.
Yes.
Yes. That becomes a kapara, the tet of
to some degree. I don't know how, we don't know how this works. We do not know how to, obviously you can't say that it's as if the father was Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously. It's not gonna work on that level, but to some degree, yes. If a child is a Shomer Torah mitzvos, to some degree that has an effect on the neshama of his father, who is not a Shomer Torah mitzvos. Definitely, there is some degree. Pasuk Yud Zayin V'Yatoa now, Shema Elokeinu El Tfilas Avdecha. So here, he's begging Hashem, listen to the tefillah of your servant, V'Yal Tach, never to his supplication, V'O'er Ponecha, and may you shine, enlighten. Chanukah is the Or Chanukah. V'O'er Ponecha, may you shine your face, the light of your face, Al Mikdoshcha Hashemim, upon the Yubes Hamidus, which has been destroyed, Laman Hashem, Laman for your sake. Don't, if you're not going to do it for our sake. So here, Daniel is pulling at every trick out of the hat. I've begged you, my own private prayer. I've begged you from Chil Hashem. I've begged you because of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Ribbono Shel Olam, covering all ground. He was a master politician. He knew how to get in every single prayer, every single thing that he can pass the plot of his hat, he's pulling out of his hat. And if Ribbono Shel Olam, everything's said and done, we do not have enough sechusim, and you're not concerned about the Chil Hashem, and you're not concerned about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and you don't want to listen to my prayer, at least do it for your sake. You created a world, and the purpose of creating this world was in order to glorify your name, and the Jewish people have the most potential to bring this mission to fruition, and therefore do it for your own sake. And this has much precedent. You find this throughout Chazal, that Hashem even says that if the Jewish people don't want to bring Mashiach the Geula, Hashem says L'ma'ani eseh, I will bring the Geula for my own sake. So here Daniel is saying, but if that's what it's come to, then fine. If that's what it's come to, so we'll be satisfied with that as well. The Medrash says that why over here he said L'man Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Notice it does not say here Yudke Vavke, it does not say Elohim. He specifically said L'man Aleph Dalid Adnus, the first one to call Hashem by the name Odoin was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, by the parasha of Sodom, he says he called when he was mispalel for the wicked people of Sodom. He used the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, not Yudke Vavke, and not Elohim. And he and Chazal discuss at great length what is the significance of Avraham Avinu calling Kadosh Baruch Hu the Odon. He was the first one to recognize Hashem is the Master. Here, the Medrash finds a hint that Daniel is saying, "Do it for the zechus of Avraham." Another trick he's pulling out of the hat. That do it for your sake, or do it the zuchus avos, the zuchus like zuchor li Avraham Moshe Rabbeinu when he was inspired the Chedor Egel, zuchor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov. Do it for the zuchus of Avraham Avinu. He was the one, the first one to call you by the name of Hashem. Okay. Let's see. Do we see? Look. Let's look at Rashi. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Laman Hashem. Laman Shem Hakadosh. Hanikra al Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar Mikdash Hashem Konu Yodecha. So Rashi has another medrash which alludes to that the name Mikdash Hashem Konu Yodecha, that it refers to the name Adnus, represents. Oh, I'm sorry. I also forgot another to mention. Rashi is alluding to when it says Shalosh Pam Bashani Yerekol Zuchurcha Es Penei Ha'odoin Hashem Ha'odoin. That Aliyah L'Regel. The purpose of Aliyah L'Regel is that everyone should see the Penei Ha'odoin, the Master. So here it's very fits very well, because here Daniel is begging, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash so that the Jewish people can once again return to see the Penei Ha'odoin, the face of the Adon. This is a term which, I don't know the details, the reason why, but it's a term which is used specifically in reference to Aliyah L'Regel, and it fits very well when it says here in the beginning of the Pasuk, in the middle of the Pasuk, V'ho'er Ponecha, may you shine your face, the light of your Ponim, Al Mikdashcha, because that is what we do when we come to see the Penei Ha'odoin, the Ponim of the Odon, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. Okay, Pasuk Yudches, Hatei Elokai Oznecha, may you turn, may you bend your ear, U'shema, and listen. Pekach einechure, open up your eyes and see. Shoyimim osenu, our desolation, the base hamigdash that has been destroyed. Vuir and the city asher nikra shimcha aleha, and the city which your name is called upon. Ki lo yaltzidka senu, not due to our merits. Anach mapilim, do we cast our supplication before you, but rather ki'al rachamecho harabim. And this pasuk is a krivich siv, pekach and pikcha with a hey. Why is the siv a hey and the kri is without? So I think the siv called siv oil ma'id. He's very into all of these krivich sivs, and he says because the hey alludes to the five things that were bottle with the bayis rishon that would never be restored, that the aron, the kruvim, the shechina, the esh min hashamayim, and what's the fifth thing? Whatever the fifth thing was, there were five things. What? The Luchos was part of the Aron, I think. Was that part of the Aron? Yeah. The Luchos, the Aron with the Luchos, I'm not sure. The Kapiris, we counted as two. The Shechina, Eish Min HaShemayim, I said the Kruvim. Can I remember? No. The Shulchan was there. And whatever it was, there were five things that did not return in the time of the Bayis Sheni. So, there is some pattern which you see. It's not really clear. You see this in the Midrash of the Farshim. This entire parak is Daniel, when he's being mispalel here, and when he's mispalel later on. From the Midrashim, it appears he knows what's coming. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later on. He knows what's coming, that there will be a Bayis Sheni. But he also knows that the Bayis Sheni will not be forever. It's just a temporary chizuk for Klal Yisrael to get through the long, difficult galus leading up to the coming of Mashiach. And he knows that the Bayis Sheni will be a weak. It will be weak relative to the Bayis Rishon.
Chagai says the opposite.
Will be stronger? Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not familiar. But there are different degrees. There are five things that are missing in the Bayis Sheni. And the Bayis Sheni was always under, most of the time was under the control of the Yevanim, except for a very short period of time during the end of the part of the Yevanim when the Jewish people had autonomy. But most of the time, the Bayis Sheni, the Yerushalayim, was under the control of foreign powers. And it was certainly under control of Koresh first. First it was Paras, and then Paras, and then Yavan, and then Rome, the last 180 years, it was under the control of. For a long period of time, it was under the control of Rome until they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So the Bayis Sheni, to a certain degree, was very weak. It was weak relative to the Bayis Rishon. So Daniel here, he sees. I understand. I know. Now we have nothing, and I'm also aware that soon there will be a pekida where you will allow the Beis Hamikdash to be restored. But I know it's very delicate, and any moment it can just collapse. And I'm being this. Balal to you, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't let it collapse. Let Klal Yisrael take from it the most they can to get through, to use it as a source of strength and inspiration so they can get through the long galus that lays ahead until the ultimate coming of Mashiach. And that's what it's over here. Hashem, I'm not happy. He's saying, I'm not happy with this that you're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, because there are still going to be five things missing. There are going to be five things missing, and those five things really capture the essence of what is lacking in the Bayis Sheni. And I'm asking, maybe you can be so kind to restore those five things to the Bayis Sheni as well, so we can have more inspiration and more chizuk to get through the long galus. Hashem obviously did not answer Daniel in that request, but it's alluded to here in the word pekach. Open your eyes and see. Look at what's missing. Those five things which are absent. These are five things which relate to the sight. There's no Oron, there's no Kapores, there's no Shechina, there's no Eish Al HaMizbech. These are five things which were apparent, were obvious when you would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he's asking what?
Could it be the anointing oil?
That was the Shemen HaMishcha, correct, right. Shemen HaMishcha, number five. The Shemen HaMishcha, correct, was not there. That was number one. So these are things which are absent, that he's asking to seek. Pasik, Nam, Pasik, Yutes. Hashem, Shema, Hashem, please listen. Hashem, Salacha, forgive. Hashem, Hakshiva. Hashem, hearken. Hakshiva is similar to the word Shema. It connotes a more intense form of listening. Va'aseh, al ta'achar, do and do not delay. We're waiting. 70 years have come. 70 years are over. Torah Labas Shemayim. The interpretation of 70 does not have to be 70 years since the Golus of Tzidkiyahu. Torah Labas Shemayim. Daniel is saying, I have the right to interpret the 70 years from the time of the Kibush of Yehoyakim. 18 years makes a big difference. And we don't appreciate this. We think today, what's the big deal? Mashiach will come 18 years from now. In the big picture of things, will 18 years make a difference? Well, the truth is it does. We don't appreciate it, especially in our generation where things are happening. Maybe you'll go back 500 years, so then you'll say, well, the difference of time between 18 years, what happens in the world, and how the Jewish people, but certainly, and we all could appreciate in our own lifetime, 18 years ago, it was a very different world. Just think about it. Think back 18 years ago, there was no internet, there were no cell phones, it was a much simpler life. Only 18 years ago, even 10 years ago, it was a much simpler life. Things were not so complex. People were in a different frame of mind. People had more patience, people were different. If Mashiach would have come 10 years ago, it would have been a little bit different. It would have been a different type of Mashiach than Mashiach coming today. So, if this is true for us, in this generation, we don't appreciate the spiritual level they were on in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, every minute made a difference. Every minute that passed was a lost opportunity. And Daniel is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring Mashiach, do not delay. 18 years is a big difference. You promised Yirmiyah, after 70 years, there will be Pekida. It's not for you, Hashem, to decide what it means 70 years. Torah, lav bashamayim. It's up to us. Nebuchadnezzar, to some degree, was right. He was right. 70 years means 70 years from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. If we had merited, Mashiach would have come 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar came to power. Doesn't necessarily have to do with the Kibush of Yehoyakim. But nothing happened. We didn't. It's our fault. The next chance is now. 70 years from Kibush Yehoyakim. Daniel looks at the calendar. The next critical moment will be 70 years from Golos Tzidkiyahu. That's 18 years from now. That's a long time to wait. In 18 years, the world will be very different. Who knows? We may lose more of our merits. We may backslide further where we will not merit Mashiach then either. There's more. If we're not going to marry Mashiach today, certainly in 18 years from now, who knows what's going to be? Who knows how many lost souls will accumulate during that period of time. Therefore, he begs Hashem, Asay v'asay al ta'achar. It's a fascinating insight into the bring of Mashiach. And again, Hashem, it's not for you to decide the number 70. It's for us to decide. And we're ready. We want it to come. Lamancha, for your sake, Elokai, do this for your sake. Yishimcha nikra al yirchav yalamecha, because it's your name. It's a chil Hashem. So here he's using the chil Hashem card. Mm-hmm. Many different cards. There's the Avram Avinu card. There's the chil Hashem card. There's the Yitzias Mitzrayim card. There is chatasi avisi. We are sinners. The tshuva card. There are many cards. He's pulling all the cards. The whole deck of cards are here. Yishimcha nikra al yirchav yalamecha, upon your city and upon your nation. I saw two interesting things. The word Shema, there are three different expressions being used here in this pasuk. Hashem Shema, Hashem Selocha, Hashem Hakshiva. We say this in davening, the Slichos, things. So the three letters. Okay, these are just Ramazim. Shin, Samach, and Kshiva. The three expressions. Listen, forgive, and hearken. Shin, Samach, Hey. What is Shin Samach Hey? 365. 365 positive commandments. And there are 365 days of the year. So you can make with that whatever you like. What?
365 positive commandments.
Yeah. There are 248 negative commandments. 248. Negative commandments. 365 negative commands. So he's saying in the zchus of the fact that we are observant of the negative commandments. Now this can mean there are different ways to explain this. Is that Daniel is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, why don't you want to bring Mashiach? Because we don't want it. We're not positive. This is very true in our generation. Do you see people today? We want Mashiach. Not necessarily. I, to what degree? I mean, I'm not trying to say anything bad, but we don't know what we're missing. We really don't. We're lost. It's not our fault. We have no idea what it was like when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when the Shulchan was Shaira. It's totally lost. So we don't know what we're missing. We don't know how to yearn to be positive, to yearn for the coming of Mashiach. But one thing is certain. Klal Yisrael, although they may not have the yearning, but they're good, they don't violate the Torah. They're observant. What does it mean to be observant? It means you don't violate the loisases. Klal Yisrael, Ruba Deruba, Amnatogato, Matin Shanishba, they're Shoimer, Torah Mitzvos. They don't violate Shabbos. They don't violate the laws of Arayos. They don't violate the Aseres Hadibros. They don't violate all of the negative commandments. All of the things that the Torah said don't do. Don't eat not kosher. Don't wear shatnez. Don't be Machal Shabbos. Don't do all of these things. They always complain that in yeshiva, they're always telling children what not to do, and they're not giving them enough positive instruction what you should do. Right? The children are someone told me he complained to the principal or the Rebbe that the children have to come home and the parent has to sign that the child did not watch television, did not go on the internet, did not read this trefa book, and did not do this, not do this. And the parents have to sign off every night what the child did not do. So he complained to Rebbe, what's all this negativity? Why don't you have me sign off that the child, he looked at the Gedolim picture cards and he did his homework and he read a good book, he looked at good things. Why is everything always what not to do? He didn't do this. So he told me, the Rebbe said, because in the Torah there are more negative commandments than positive commandments. There are 365 negative commandments. This Rebbe was doing a joking with him, well, a partial joke. He's saying, you're right, you have to positive for us, but you have to understand.
My kids said, he's expected to do that.
Yeah. So the Rebbe was saying, you're right, we have to focus, I agree with you, but you have to understand there are many great dangers, and we speak from experience, and unfortunately the situation that we have here in this class and this group of people is we have a lot of very negative, so we're focusing on, whether he's right or wrong, that's none of my business, but this is a very interesting point that over here, what he here part of Daniel's supplication, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, the Jewish people, they're in Galus. It may very well be that they're not yearning. They're not focusing on the positive, on the ases, on the 248 mitzvahs ases, which all represent positive things. They want Mashiach. But so what? Hashem Shema, Hashem Selocha, Hashem Akshiva. Even though they're not yearning for the coming of Mashiach and the Gula, the Bayis Sheni, but they're good people. They're good, hard-working people. They don't sin. They don't violate the negative commandments of the Torah. And that alone should serve as a merit for the Gula, to give them what they don't even know that they're missing. So that's another idea of why here we're focusing specifically on the negative. It's part of Daniel's desperate request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Geula. It may very well be that we don't want Mashiach to come because we don't know what we're missing. But at least bring Mashiach in the Zuchus that we observe what we're supposed to do. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to at least not be like the Goyim. Don't do the negative, don't do the losases of the Torah. The Shin Samachei Loisase. Okay, another idea from the Gro, the Vilna Gaon says that these letters, the Rashi Tevos, Shemoha, Silocha, Kshiva, and he also, this is from the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, Va'asei, correspond to the Dalad Misa Spezdin. The Shin is Serefa, the Samach is Skila, the Kuf is...
Chenek?
So how does it go? I'm forgetting, I don't remember. I have it here. Let me. What? Give me one second. I should have this. You find it very quickly here.
Hey,
Eric. Vasei. Give me one second. Okay. Shin shel shmir rumas l'sreifa samach shel skila hey. Oh, so he says the hey shalak shiva. So why do you take the hak shiva? I'm sorry, not the kuf. Okay, the first word hey is hereg, and the vav shall vase kneged vav shall vichenek. Okay, vichenek. It's the last. It's not chenek. But this is a gross. If it was Stam Chassidus Shereba, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't even look. But when it says to the gross says this, okay, so the gross already a different level. A regra, like a balaturim, then you don't trust to make light of a balaturim. You don't make light of what a gross says, and therefore that he's saying that we already suffered the dalid misos bez. Okay, so this let's we'll stop over here with pasik where we have the pasik chaf up to pasik chaf. Okay, we'll stop here.